the air we breathe, the water we drink, the soil that grows food for our families. These basic elements are essential to healthy, happy lives. America's corn growers think so too. Across the country, they're pitching in every day and doing the work to produce food and fuel that is healthy in a sustainable way. Go to ncga.com to learn more about how corn farmers grow a more sustainable future for us all. That's ncga.com.
Hello and welcome, everybody, especially those in Donnie Droon time here. 6:12 a.m. over in Arizona. Crazy. I'd be sleeping for at least it's 5:12 there.
Bro, it says not even up right now.
It's 5:12 in the morning where you are. Are you kidding me? We're done. This has been a great episode. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. No, I'm just kidding. Welcome, everybody. The Pittsburgh Steelers are 1-0 in the preseason, but they're still 1-0. This is All Steelers Talk. I'm your host, Noah Strackbein, joined always by my co-host, Donnie Droon. And Donnie, it wasn't a great game. It was a little sloppy, but the offensive line looked pretty good. Dwayne Haskins and Mason Rudolph looked pretty bad. Josh Dobbs, quarterback of the future. How you feeling?
I think after a game where nobody was really significantly hurt, I know Chase Claypool had the little scare there in the first half. I think watching the offensive line play a little bit above expectations, a little bit above expectations given who was starting, the play from all three quarterbacks wasn't terrible. You saw some people on the defensive side of the ball make plays, which is always nice to see. I think overall, you got to be really pleased. And yeah, like the Steelers won cool, but like I don't really think coaches are looking for wins and losses and that kind of thing. I think they're kind of playing a lot of situational football and seeing how certain guys react to different downs and situations and whatnot. But I mean, there is a lot of good things I liked yesterday, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, a ton. I honestly thought going into the game that the Steelers were going to get smoked. I thought that they had no depth. They had no offensive line. Their running game was very hit or miss. I was very concerned, and I didn't expect to see a ton from the guys on the field that I expect to make an impact this season. Then the game started. Alex Highsmith goes nuts. Cassius Marsh joins him right alongside. Quincy Roche comes in. Donovan Steiner, Trey Norwood, they're all making plays. I thought it was a great first game. I thought for an extra preseason game, the Hall of Fame game, that really doesn't mean anything, and it's really not a time that coaches are going to use much of their key players. It was a good chance to see who comes in behind guys like Minkah Fitzpatrick, TJ Watt, you know, those kind of guys. And to be honest, I was thrilled, or I want to say I was a little surprised at how much they impressed me from start to finish. And I think we'll start with the offensive line. Kendrick Green and Dan Moore, what did you see from them? Personally, I thought that they played great.
Yeah, coming in, not a lot of people were fans of Dan Moore. I mean, he looked really stiff. He just wasn't he's a mid-round guy, so you don't really expect him to come in at the NFL level and produce right away. And granted, this is only one preseason game, so we can only go off what we saw from the, you know, X amount of snaps that he did see last night. But I thought Dan Moore looked fine. But I think any idea of anybody else other than Kendrick Green starting at center moving forward can be shut down right away. I mean, Kendrick Green looks like he's been playing in the NFL for years. He looks like a veteran, the way he moves, you know, just his athleticism, the way he just drives people into the ground, the way he finishes blocks. I mean, it's remarkable.
Yeah, I agree. I think Kendrick Green has looked good at training camp. There hasn't been a moment where you've been a little concerned. There's been a missed snap here or there, but nothing major. And last night he played just like he played in training camp alongside a group of guys that have no business being starters in the NFL, and he clearly shined. He kept that offensive line together. I think he was the key reason that the Steelers had so much success up front, is because he was able to, you know, assert that dominance right in the middle and kind of be that key player. And you're right, he has won the center position. That is an easy win for him. J.C. Hasenauer didn't play bad, but there's no way you're putting Hasenauer in there when Kendrick Green has so much potential. He's so athletic, and he played so well in game one. And then Dan Moore, Dan Moore was the softest guy on the football field for the last 2 weeks. Comes in last night, doesn't give up a sack. That's huge. You know, plays pretty well. I get that the Steelers only rushed for 2.5 yards a carry, but when you have a group of misfits on the offensive line and you're trying to implement a new offense, you know, it is what it is. Plus, Jalen Samuels ran the ball 11 times at the end of the game. You can't expect that to be a high number. So you're looking at Dan Moore, and I'm feeling good about him. I'm feeling good that Dan Moore can be that backup tackle. And honestly, it gives Chooks a little bit more time to recover from whatever he's dealing with without anybody having to really freak out about it. On the other hand, I thought Joe Haig, he didn't play poorly, but I think Joe Haig is a guy that could be a liability when the real games actually start.
Yeah, Finney kind of doing BJ Finney things. He really didn't stand out good or bad one way or another. Coward, kind of the same thing. I didn't see a whole lot from him. And then Joe Haig, yeah, I mean, he's not going to be starting over Zach Banner anytime soon. What I will say, if Dan Moore does continue to perform at a high level, something that we talked about last week on All Steelers Talk, is competition is never a bad thing, you know, whether it be at the quarterback or left tackle. So I think if Dan Moore plays really well, hopefully it'll push Okorafor to kind of be that guy. Because from everything I'm hearing, like Okorafor,
I mean, he doesn't look terrible. The problem is that Dan Moore and Okorafor are both – the Steelers' offensive line is mean. They're nasty guys. You know, Kevin Dotson is the scariest man on the planet. Easy. Kendrick Green looks like a monster, and he's probably the second scariest guy on the planet. And then Zach Banner is 6'9", and when you're 6'9", it's impossible not to be terrifying, even if he's a giant teddy bear. And then there's Chooks and there's Dan Moore, who are big softies. And that's okay, you know, to be that person. But when you're on the football field, you have to have that mean streak. And I think that now that there's two of them that could kind of compete together, maybe it'll push one of them to kind of gain more aggression and work a little harder when it comes to being that nasty offensive lineman. When it comes to the quarterbacks, biggest thing we were watching, what did you see?
I don't think any of the three quarterbacks that I played last night were awful. First of all, I think Mason Rudolph needs to change his number and change his identity, because no matter what that dude does, he's going to get pooped on. It's kind of just like a fact of life. Granted, that early fumble where Chase Claypool is coming in motion, more so on him, that looks like a timing thing. That looks like Mason needed to snap that ball, you know, sooner rather than later, and it just didn't happen. So I will pin the blame on Rudolph for that. The dropped ball that Claypool had, though, not on Rudolph at all. I don't know why people are blaming him, bro. There's a safety 5 yards away from Chase Claypool. You're in the NFL. I don't care if it's preseason. Just make the catch and go down, dude. And I know that's a lot easier said than done from my point of view. But people were really nitpicking Mason Rudolph, and I thought he did fine. You know, he didn't excel. Like, he didn't crown himself as the heir apparent to Ben Roethlisberger after last night's performance. But to say Mason Rudolph played bad or worse than Haskins and Dobbs, not true.
No, I agree. I think that Mason Rudolph played fine. But I think that – and the Chase Claypool thing, we've seen that in training camp. Chase Claypool continues to make a big play and then drop two passes in a row. That's just like a consistent thing, which is something to worry about and to watch moving forward. But when it comes to Mason Rudolph, I think last night, I think the biggest thing for me is that Mason Rudolph should have taken that leap and kind of gained some ground in this competition. This is right now, this is Dwayne Haskins' competition to win, and it's Mason Rudolph's to lose, which means that Rudolph has to – Dwayne Haskins is going to have more eyes on him than Rudolph. Nobody cares about Mason Rudolph right now. Last night should have been that opportunity for him to go in there, put on a good show, at least score a touchdown, and kind of say, hey, look, I could win a ball game if you need me to win a ball game, which is what a backup quarterback should do. And right now, that's all they're competing for. They're not competing for the successor of Ben Roethlisberger. They're not competing to be the next franchise quarterback. All they're looking for is that number two job and probably a number one job next season if Big Ben calls it quits. Mason did not do enough last night to say he is the number two. At the same hand, Dwayne Haskins, as little as he did, looked more comfortable in the pocket, I believe, and he went through his progressions better, but he didn't do anything either. There was not a moment in that game where I thought Dwayne Haskins is a top 15 pick and plays like a top 15 pick. I looked at him and said, this guy has a ton of potential and he could definitely learn with the Steelers now that they have a quarterback coach and with a guy like Matt Canada leading the way, and especially behind Big Ben. But I didn't look at him for one moment and say, this guy is the next franchise quarterback. And I don't know if I expected to look at him and say that, but there was a part of me that I think was. Josh Dobbs, on the other hand, looks phenomenal. And I don't care what anybody says. He made throws that I don't believe other quarterbacks would make. And by other quarterbacks, I mean Mason and Dwayne. And I think he looked the most comfortable and the most confident in the backfield. And I just think that's who Josh Dobbs is. Mike Tomlin gave him a little shout out in the presser afterwards saying that, you know, he shouldn't have made the team last time, and he did. Maybe that's a foreshadow that he's going to make the team this time, even though he shouldn't.
Yeah. So touching on Haskins, overall, I don't think he played better or worse than Mason Rudolph. To me, I walk away from that game last night still kind of viewing them on like the same level. I will say that, his mobility does give him a little bit more of a different dynamic than Mason Rudolph. I thought Rudolph was a little
Dwayne Haskins more. Wasn't mope. Why did all of Pittsburgh believe that Dwayne Haskins can't run the ball?
Dude, all of Pittsburgh right now is gung-ho on Dwayne Haskins. Probably even starting week one, to be honest. People love this dude, man. Not for no reason, but people really do love Dwayne Haskins, man. I thought Mason Rudolph did not a better job, but I thought he took a little bit more chances throwing those like medium to like deep routes, whereas Dwayne Haskins kind of just focused on hitting primary targets, you know, in relatively short routes. But that might have been just a play calling. That might have been, you know, just kind of whatever they had asked each of them to do. Josh Dobbs, on the other hand, I felt like he was playing a little bit of what people like to call hero ball.
Yeah,
that dude was trying to throw touchdowns every play. And I think that's because there's so much talk about Dwayne Haskins and Mason Rudolph competing for the number two spot. I feel like Josh Dobbs knows, you know, like,
yeah.
Josh Dobbs
is play hero ball when you're third on the depth chart.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, in order to really put yourself not only in that number two quarterback conversation, but even just making the final 53, you got to make some plays, my dude. And Josh Dobbs went out and, you know, he threw that touchdown, which looked really good. But still, like, there were a lot of times where Dobbs was just like a second late seeing a guy who was open, and that ended up in like an incomplete pass, or he kind of like scurried out of the pocket a little bit too much. So, I mean, all in all, I thought all three quarterbacks played fine.
Yeah, me too. I don't think it was a concern for any of them. To touch on Dobbs real quick, I do agree, but I think that Dobbs needs more quality reps. I want to see him with the second team instead of the third team. I want to see him with an actual running back instead of Jalen Samuels. You know, there's guys out there that I would like to see Dobbs play with, because I think things change when Dobbs has better weapons around him. Don't get me wrong. Tyler Simmons is a guy that I believe should and could make this roster, but that I would like to see more quality receivers and more quality reps for Josh Dobbs, even if it's in practice. I want to see him with the number two team, and I think he's earned that as of right now moving forward. The running back position, Najee Harris did little to nothing, but that was expected, and I think he played fine for a guy who had Rashad Coward and B.J. Finney as his guards. But Kalen Ballage balled out, and Jalen Samuels did not. And honestly, I've hit a point where I'm full-blown give Ballage the fourth running back spot. Samuels, see you later.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I was kind of touching on Najee really quick. I felt like we were all super excited to see what he can do. Granted, we need to temper expectations because it is the preseason, but I was really excited that he actually was able to get out there and get real life, you know, snaps throughout the preseason. So it was really good to see that. I mean, 7 carries for 22 yards isn't anything great, but it's also not anything like super bad at the same time, especially considering the guys he had in front of him. Let's not forget, the Cowboys have a really good, you know, front seven whenever it comes to their defensive side of the ball, so nothing to really shake a stick at there. But Samuels didn't look super great. I mean, I thought Anthony McFarland and Kalen Ballage looked really good last night. You know, both of them have a little bit different things they bring to the team. But I mean, McFarland looks shifty, and Ballage looks like, you know, he's finally able to putting together some of the pieces of the puzzle that comes with being an NFL running back.
Yeah, I agree. I think Ballage carries more than Samuels does. He has better vision. He has more power. He's not afraid to run into somebody, where Samuels is just kind of being, he wants to be that utility back, but he only contains the ability to catch the football. McFarland, on the other hand, I thought played well.
Yeah, well, but like, here's the thing with Samuels. His main shtick is like being able to catch the football, but now you have Najee Harris who can catch the football. You have Anthony McFarland who can catch the football. You have Kalen Ballage who can catch the football. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you have three guys ahead of you that can, you know, do what you say you bring to the table, you know, better than anybody else. Do something different, and he can't.
He can't do that.
He can't, and exactly. He's going to find himself off of the roster like sooner rather than later.
Oh, God. I don't think there's a fourth-year guy on the team who has less of a shot to make this roster than Jalen Samuels. You hit on it perfectly. He could only catch the ball. Well, guess what? That worked when your running backs in front of you were James Conner and Benny Snell Jr. But Anthony McFarland plays in the slot as much as he plays in the backfield. Derek Watt is catching wheel routes left and right at training camp, looking like a stud. And Najee Harris is a wide receiver turned running back. So sorry, but there's just no room for that. And when you're looking for that fourth guy, you just need somebody to ground and pound your way to the end zone if need be. That fourth running back is only here for emergency circumstances. Kalen Ballage is a much better option than Jalen Samuels. And you're right. Get him out of here. Kalen Ballage, number 29, unless that lower body injury is as significant as it could be, then it could be a little concerning. Moving on to the defense. Oh, go ahead. You got something?
No, I was going to touch on the tight ends super quick. Really quick, really weird to see Zach Gentry get out there and get reps with the starters, but whatever. Fun fact, I went back and watched the Rudolph fumble that happened. He didn't block anybody. Gentry did not block a single soul on that play. And we know the guy he was supposed to block ended up recovering the ball, Micah Parsons. But he kind of stood there like a statue, bro. So good on him for doing that. Freiermuth is a physical dude. And I feel like anytime he touches the football, he will fall forward 3 yards. That's kind of like how things are looking to be. And that dude can block. Like he paved the way to the end zone a few times. You know,
you mean definitely. Kevin Rader?
I'm sorry?
Do you mean Kevin Rader?
No. 87?
That's Kevin Rader.
Bro, I'm so tired right now.
It's 5 a.m. Donnie time. It's okay. Kevin Rader. But Kevin Rader did look good. I think
Kevin Rader looked phenomenal. But that's
yeah. Okay. But I think that's the thing is Kevin Rader has always been able to block and he's always been able to play special teams. He can't catch the football consistently. So we need to see him catch the football consistently. But I do agree. I think he gets more opportunities moving forward because you're not going to see Ebron in the preseason. And if Freiermuth has a shoulder injury, it's going to be those two moving forward. But yeah, Kevin Rader did look all right.
Dude, and like, especially for like, if you're a third tight end and you're trying to, well, not even a third tight end behind
fourth,
Ebron Gentry and Freiermuth, you have to learn to make plays in the preseason to like, make the team. Like, you really need to take advantage of your opportunity. So, like, good on him for doing that. Also, I want to give a shout out, to Mark Gilbert.
Yeah.
My man, Mark Gilbert, number 70, recovered that fumble there in the second half to keep that Steelers drive alive. Played wide receiver whenever he did that. Played cornerback a little bit afterwards and had
Isaiah McCoy.
Bro, it's Mark Gilbert. I promise you I looked.
It's not. Yo. Mark Gilbert.
Bro, I looked at the back of the jersey, I'm telling you.
Oh, bro, fumble recovery on the punt?
No, on offense.
That was Isaiah McCoy.
Bro, if I look at the stat sheet and it's not Mark Gilbert, I'd be really upset.
Go ahead, look at the stat sheet. I'm telling you.
Right now.
It's Isaiah McCoy. He's number 17. He's a wide receiver. Mark Gilbert played all right. I thought I wanted to see more out of Mark Gilbert, if we're being real. But that's where we're going next is the defense once Donnie realizes that he's wrong. Some dead time here, but that's okay.
Yeah, I don't see any fumble recovery, so I'm going to assume you're right.
Yeah, number 17, Isaiah McCoy. I know them all. I know them all.
I would assume you know a little bit more than me at this point.
They're allowed to have both jersey numbers. That's fine. On the defense, we'll stick with cornerback here. I can't find
Isaiah McCoy. Isaiah McCoy, congrats. You made the All-Steelers Talk Player of the Week. Award coming soon in the mail.
Awards. Moving on to defense, we got the cornerback. James Pierre, I thought, played pretty okay. There was a couple of moments that I thought he was a step behind, but there was a couple moments where I thought he played the ball pretty well. And then there was Justin Lane. What did you think of Justin Lane?
Get him out, bro. Get him out, man.
Even after the fumble on a 30-yard completion, you're telling me get him out?
He got burnt, dude.
Thank you.
That shouldn't have even happened, man.
Shouldn't have happened. Thank you. Everybody and their mother was tweeting out about how good of a play Justin Lane just made. And I'm just sitting here like, the man just gave up a 25-yard completion. Thank gosh that he caused a fumble, because he just gave up 25 yards. Like, it was awful.
Was that on the third down too?
That was a third down play. It was awful.
It was like third and like 15.
Yeah, against the third string team. Ben DiNucci was throwing the football and you gave up a 25-yard completion. You're lucky that you somehow put your twig of an arm in the right spot to hit the ball out, because
he got burnt there. And then he also had that penalty that extended the Cowboys drive a little bit later in the game as well. So not a great day for him. I thought James Pierre looked good.
I thought he looked fine. You know, he's a guy who I didn't expect him to be a superstar. I didn't expect to see pick sixes in the preseason game, but he didn't give up anything huge. There was one or two passes that he was a step behind. He caught up real quick. He never gave up a big play, but he was a step behind. Granted, Steven Nelson last season was a step behind all the time. And I think that just comes with the territory, that sometimes you're not going to be able to keep up with these guys, especially guys like CeeDee Lamb and those guys. But yeah, I thought James Pierre played fine. On the slot, I thought Antoine Brooks and Arthur Millett were awful. Absolutely awful.
Yeah, the note I have on my notepad right now from the game last night says, anybody outside of James Pierre playing at the cornerback position, # not good. Arthur Mollett was torched in coverage the entire night.
Antoine
Brooks didn't do himself any favors either.
Nope. I wanted at least one of them. I wanted to see get to the quarterback. I thought, okay, you know, if you could blitz well, maybe there's some potential. But there was no potential there to blitz. Every time they took off the edge, they just got lost in the backfield somewhere. And it just wasn't a good night. At this point, I think Trey Norwood, who I was going to touch on in a little bit, but Trey Norwood, I think, had himself a good game. And he's a guy that, moving forward, I'm putting him in the slot and saying, hey, what can you do here? Because these two are not the option. And I think the Steelers learned that pretty quick.
Yeah. And the good thing for the Steelers is that they have that that extra preseason game above everybody else now, so that they now know a little bit more than most of other teams do heading into the first preseason game. That being said, I feel like it wouldn't hurt to put Trey Norwood in the slot, or at least try him there. I mean, you got to find somebody, man. You have to find somebody. And maybe it's Cam Sutton. Maybe. I mean, it still depends largely on what Keith Butler wants to do with the defense. But, I mean, I feel like if you're comfortable with James Pierre on the outside, you can mainly rely on Cam Sutton to kind of be that slot guy. But, like, in terms of playing, like, nickelback, dude, I think – at least from what I saw last night and what you've been telling me, Trey Norwood kind of looks like the guy to kind of fill that position. Because, like, Arthur Mollett can't, and then, like, Antoine Brooks shouldn't.
No way. The only problem is that if you go up against a guy like Juju Smith-Schuster, how well can Trey Norwood play when he has to get physical? Because last night he nearly had an interception, which looked good. He blocked the field goal, which was phenomenal. But there were moments where he had to tackle somebody, and it was like, I don't know if he's going to get this done. And that just comes with the size. He's 5'0", 100 pounds. But if he can learn how to play physical and he could at least maneuver around playing bigger slot guys, I think he's definitely an option. I think you have to test him out at this point, because your best option right now is Cam Sutton moving to the slot and James Pierre with Joe Hayden on the outside. But then you're going to be relying on guys like Justin Lane and Steven Denmark to be the backup outside guy. And those aren't reliable decisions, are reliable options right now. So, I don't know. It was concerning. It was definitely the most concerning thing I've seen, I saw all night. I thought the defensive line played well. Alex Highsmith, can we please stop talking about Alex Highsmith and Melvin Ingram being in a competition battle? Because Alex Highsmith already looks better than Bud Dupree.
Dude, whenever they said that on the telecast last night, I don't know if you caught that, but they showed Alex Highsmith and he was like, oh, like Alex Highsmith competing for a job with Melvin Ingram, who was brought in. I'm just like, bro.
No, stop. Not after last stop, night. Man. Not after last night.
So three pressures on the opening drive is pretty much all you need to know from Highsmith. Mm-hmm. I mean, dude, that spin move he's got down is going to be something nasty whenever
the committee spin trademarked. There needs to be t-shirts somewhere.
I would like a tornado on the t-shirt.
Yeah, something.
I thought Highsmith looked really good. I thought Quincy Roche looked really good for the amount of snaps that he played and what he was able to do in terms of getting to the quarterback. Really weird seeing 48 come off the edge and not being Bud Dupree, but I think Roche can kind of fill those shoes a little bit. You know, it's going to take a lot of time. It's going to take a lot of muscle added to that athletic frame he already has. But I mean, just a one game sample size though. I really like what I saw. Isaiah Bugs can't get off the team yesterday. The dude, somebody else makes a play and he runs 10 yards into the backfield and kind of starts doing TikTok dances and shit.
All the time. On every play. What about Cassius Marsh?
Cassius Marsh looked really good. Buddy Johnson looks really good too.
Yeah.
Really quick on Bugs though. Like how do you hit a quarterback right in the crown with your helmet on the third down play that extends the drive? Especially on a team where you're trying to make the active roster, and bro, that is not a good way for you to do that.
No, it was a poor,
not impressed with that. Poor performance. Robert Spillane still can't keep up with running backs, but nothing's new. Water's wet. This guy is blue for the most part right now.
Black for you, but that's still cool.
It's coming out.
We're getting there. Yeah, Robert Spillane looks slow, but I didn't expect that. I think that was just more of a test. Like, hey, how well can you play a running back? Not well. Cool. Time to move on to Devin, which is fine. Yeah. They have options. Buddy Johnson's an athletic dude to be coming off the bench and playing pass coverage situations, which I feel good about. I thought Cassius Marsh, I thought the ball played well. You want to know who played the best? You want to know who played better than anybody on the whole Pittsburgh Steelers roster?
I know who you're going to say, bro.
I know who I'm going to say. He's number six. He's not Duck Hodges. He's Presley freaking Harvin III. And my man won the punting job in one punt and then came back and won it again four more times with phenomenal punts. Not only did this man land a punt inside the one and have it bounce four times inside the 1 yard line and sit on the 1 yard line. No, he came back, landed two more inside the 15, put a beautiful one out of bounds. And then, what's next? He forces a fumble off of a punt. Who does that? Presley Harvin does that.
Presley Harvin, the third. I think RIP to any Presley Harvin haters out there, because last night was a rough night for you guys. Jordan Berry as well, dude.
I don't know if Jordan Berry was supposed to get a snap last night and they just decided, never mind, he's already done. But I wouldn't give him a snap for the rest of the preseason. This is Presley Harvin's game.
Do you remember during the NBA dunk contest when Vince Carter did the it's over thing?
Mm-hmm.
After he had basically won it. And after Presley Harvin had dropped that dime inside the 1 yard line, I feel like over. No more sense in talking about a punting competition, because it's going to take a lot for Presley Harvin not to win this job.
Oh, yeah. I think Presley Harvin looked better last night than he has at training camp.
Really?
Yeah. It's been a tight competition. Jordan Berry has done everything he can to stay in this competition, and I've given him a lot of credit for that. But last night, when the pressure was on and this was Presley Harvin's game, he said, we're not punting from the back of the end zone like we are in practice. Beautiful. Let me show you what I can do. And he pins it in the 1 yard. It was beautiful. Presley Harvin won last night by 1,000,000%.
Yeah, I mean, whenever he caught that snap, he held the football vertically. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this man's gonna try to get this bounce backwards, and then I don't think he could have walked it and placed the ball himself more perfectly.
No, No, he really – literally three guys. First off, whoever was defending that punt, like I don't understand why there was three guys standing around it waiting for it to end to like stop bouncing. But I'm glad that they did because it sat on the half-yard line. That's never happened before in the history of punts. Like I don't – Presley Harvin, man, the all-star of the game. I think if we're listing the best guys of last night, it was Presley Harvin, Alex Highsmith, and a group of misfits. But Presley Harvin is up here while the rest of them are here, maybe. Man, the man took off. It was beautiful. Yeah. It was a thing of beauty. Jordan Berry, I don't even want to see him. I don't even want to see him at training camp. Send him and whoever Sloman is on the same plane to wherever they're going because neither of them have a spot in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I didn't expect much out of Sloman. And then he looks like Mike Vanderjagt in the divisional round of the 2004 Steelers Colts playoff game where he just, dude, like not even close, man. Like
not even close.
It was already to the right of like the furthest tackle on the field goal unit before it like got level with like the line of scrimmage, bro.
There was it was the worst kicking, whatever you want. Display in maybe NFL history. I've never seen kickers play so bad than last night. But I think this was just the Steelers' way of saying we're not letting Chris Boswell get hurt. Sloman's the dude for the preseason. Bos, you could kick during week one when everything's fine and dandy.
Dude, I bet Chris Boswell's just sitting there, just counting up the money in his bank account right there.
Oh, that $4 million extension. He's just looking at it all the time. He's just like, well, I'm not losing it this year. I don't even see Chris Boswell kick kicks in practice. Like once every other week, you see him take a field goal. Meanwhile, Sloman's there like pounding kicks every other day. Boz is just like, yeah, okay, buddy, have fun.
Is he normally good in training camp? Like has he, okay.
No. Like he's no. Like I think he went 5 for 7 on Monday or Tuesday. And like, I was just like, you're kicking 30-yard field goals with no defense. Why are you not 7 for 7? So, I don't know. At the same point, though, Presley Harvin was the holder, and that is something to keep an eye on because Presley Harvin needs to establish himself as a holder if he's going to keep this job alive because the punting job in Pittsburgh is about way more than just kicking a football. So, that's something to watch. And thank you for watching. Thank you, Donnie, for waking up in the middle of the night to do another episode of All Steelers Talk. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube at All Steelers Talk. Check us out on Twitter and Facebook at All Steelers and visit allsteelers.com for everything. Me and Donnie, we will see you Thursday, Friday, one of these days later this week. Make sure to subscribe, check us out on Twitter, and we will see you Thursday.
We did it again. Verizon was just named America's most reliable network by Root Metrics for the 16th time in a row, proving once again that nobody builds networks like Verizon builds networks. That's why we're building 5G right. That's why there's only one best network, Verizon. Best and most reliable based on Root Metrics reports from second half 2013 to first half 2021 of 3 operators on all network types combined, not specific to 5G networks.
Check out the latest footwear innovation from Adidas, the Adizero Adios Pro 2, which features carbon fiber energy rods that are both lightweight and precisely tuned for a more anatomical transition. Everything from the ultra-light polyester upper to the re-sculpted midsole and the reinvented outsoles are designed for speed. Visit adidas.com to learn more today.
We did it again. Verizon was just named America's most reliable network by Root Metrics for the 16th time in a row, proving once again that nobody builds networks like Verizon builds networks. That's why we're building 5G right. That's why there's only one best network, Verizon. Best and most reliable based on Root Metrics reports from second half 2013 to first half 2021 of 3 operators on all network types combined, not specific to 5G networks. We did it again. Verizon was just named America's most reliable network by Root Metrics for the 16th time in a row, proving once again that nobody builds networks like Verizon builds networks. That's why we're building 5G right. That's why there's only one best network, Verizon.
Best and most reliable based on RootMetrics reports from second half 2013 to first half 2021 of three operators on all network types combined, not specific to 5G networks.